ਤੁਸੀਂ SBS ਪੰਜਾਬੀ ਦੇ ਨਾਲ ਹੋ। ਹੋਰ ਜਾਣਕਾਰੀਆਂ ਪ੍ਰਾਪਤ ਕਰੋ sbs.com.au/punjabi ਉੱਤੇ।
SBS Radio.
Pallavi Sharda, welcome to SBS Radio.
Thank you so much, Manpreet.
Before I ask you about Beecham House, which is absolutely enthralling everyone, you know, to see something so Indian on an Australian television screen for the first time, I'm actually just going to peg back and ask you about how your career has panned out, because we all know you're the daughter of brilliant Indian migrants, both with a huge IIT connection. Then you went on to complete a law degree. Then you set your sights on silver screen, and I dare say that you probably have achieved more success in Hollywood and Bollywood than any other overseas-born Indian actress has been able to accomplish. So how would you see your journey so far?
Wow, that's a really kind set of words. Manpreet, I'm blushing. I didn't know I could actually blush because I've got Indian skin. I'm feeling hot. But it's been a lot of hard work, a lot of idealism, belief in the power of dreams, and all of the things that, you know, one talks about when they say they're going to be an actor or they say they're going to work in an industry which doesn't have a clear-cut path for them. But very grateful for the way it's turned out. There's been many roadblocks along the way and moments where I've thought, is it time to leave it, to give it up? Is it crazy? Can I go back to a law firm? But somewhere, I think as soon as that faith wavers, there's always like a sign or a little something which says, no, no, this is your calling. You know, you're a performer. You always have been, so stick with it. So, yeah, it's a very personal journey that I have with the work that I do.
Wow. And you have so many amazing movies. I mean, not just Bollywood, you know, Hawaii and Begum Jaan and all of that. But then The Lion, I mean, that's such an amazing film to be part of. And now we've, you know, come to Beecham House. So you have straddled a few different industries, small screen, big screen, different countries as well. How has that been for you?
Yeah, it's been pretty incredible to think that I went from Australia to Bollywood and then have now got a career, which I guess in a sense spans four territories, you know, and I shoot. People don't understand. They're like, wait, weren't you just shooting in Malaysia? Wasn't that a British action show? Aren't you shooting a pilot in the UK? Blah, blah, blah. but I've made a promise to myself that it's boundaryless, that my work reflects how I look at the world and how I want people to see each other, which is without boundaries of color, race, and continents. And, you know, the performing arts are universal, in my opinion. And I have a very particular background in performing arts because I started as a classical Indian dancer. Mm. And what that made me realize is that it gave me a particularity in how I use my body, how I use my eyes, how I use my voice, and all of those things. And for a long time, I thought that only works in India, that I'm only suited for Indian screens, and that's where I need to be. And then I gradually realized that that wasn't the case. You know, we pigeonhole ourselves based on what we think growing up, or potentially it's because I grew up an Indian in Australia. Mm. And when there was interest, I think maybe Lion was helpful because I was cast in a role in Lion. And I also started my career in New York in independent film 10 years ago, which no one even realized. So I saw the struggle of the international indie actor, you know, where it wasn't just fame and wealth and Bollywood and stardom. And that was really good grounding for me. And it really gave me a sense of the dignity of labor when it comes to the performing arts. And I think it's allowed me to always go back to those roots and to go back to a struggle if I need to. Because a lot of people that make it, quote unquote, in Bollywood, that life is hard to leave. You know, it's a really fun, enigmatic and privileged life. But I was okay turning my back on those privileges for a little while I did something else. And I think that that's just the motto of how I operate. It's a job like any others, and I'm a jobbing actor. And I don't think of it as anything more special than anything else anyone does.
No, definitely is. And I think it's very inspiring. And I will definitely talk about that a little bit later. But let's get to Beecham House. It's absolutely fascinating to see a drama set in 18th century India towards the end of the Mughal Empire to be shown on free-to-air Australian television. Mm-hmm. Apart from this being the first of sorts, how important was this to you? And what was the whole experience like?
Oh, yeah, such an apt question, because obviously when I heard Gurinder Chadha was casting one of her leading ladies, my heart stopped. I was sitting in Melbourne, and exactly where I'm sitting right now as I speak to you, actually, the exact place of my childhood bedroom, because I was visiting Dad after a shoot in Penang. And I remember being sick. I was like, it was Melbourne winter, and I just was like, what is this cold anymore? And I just had to tape for her. And I had actually done my dissertation as a part of my media degree on the representation of cross-cultural communities in Australian media and on crossover film. That was my thesis and my media part of my double degree. And so Gurinder Chadha obviously featured very heavily in that, and her work as a diasporic filmmaker, her work in pioneering women of colour on screen in the 90s in Britain, and the way in which her work was impactful for those of us who were growing up in Australia, because that was the first kind of representation we had ever seen of the dual cultures with which we grew up. And so she was very much in my mind growing up, because I had always known I wanted to be an actress, but I was this girl from Melbourne. And when you're seeing something like Bhaji on the Beach, you know, I saw that retroactively because I was quite young when it came out, but then in my research, when I saw all the work she had done, I was fascinated. And then when I saw Bendit, obviously, when I was at high school, I all of a sudden walked into the school yard feeling 2 inches taller, because all of my friends had seen an Indian Family on screen at the weekend. And a lot of them were coming up to me saying, oh, Pallavi, don't you do Indian dancing? Pallavi, don't you? You know, and all of a sudden, I was visible in a way that I wasn't before. So, you know, for that reason, working with her and is a very emotional concept in itself. But then as a craft person, she's exceptional in terms of what she does as a director. So, you know, it was a 1 week process of from finding out that she was looking to getting the call that it was mine, that Chandrika was mine, to getting on a plane from here to London, where we shot the interiors, actually, of the show. And being utterly, you know, almost in awe and mortified by her when I saw her, because she's sort of a larger-than-life presence. I think she's the only person I've ever worked with who I had, you know, considered so much before I got to work with her. Even the, you know, people I've worked with in Hollywood or a lot of the Bollywood big actors, I mean, I just treated them as other professionals. But Gurinder, there was the myth of Gurinder. And, you know, she was incredible. She's warm, homely. She's amongst one of my closest comrades now in the world. And it was amazing. We had a shorthand because I had never worked with a person, a director, who understood what it was to be a woman of color who's of Indian origin growing up in a white society. And that is a very specific consciousness. And so when she was directing me, there was this kind of understanding, mutual understanding of our experiences. And, you know, she's like a beautiful, warm Punjabi woman. We would have dinner at her home for the cast. And when we were shooting in India, she would see we were getting tired. And then all of a sudden, the Punjabi tunes were playing and we were doing bale bale on. And the British actors were like, what is going on? Why are Pallavi and Gurinder always doing Bhangra in the middle of the shoot day? So that was the best. And we had William Dalrymple, who's written books like The Anarchy, City of Jinn, Xanadu, very well-known historian about Indian Mughal Empire and the Mughal era. He was our historical advisor on Beecham House. But I've known William for years from my time in India. And I remember when he came onto set and he said to Gurinder, he said, oh, you've cast Pallu as Chandrika, the most Aussie woman you'll ever meet, but by the same token, the most Punjabi Australian you'll ever meet hanging around in Bombay. It was really funny.
But it's fascinating to hear how you feel Gurinder Chadha's work made you feel visible here in Australia. And I'd like to draw upon that a little bit further and talk about the diversity in Australian screens. How important do you think in that aspect is Beecham House? And do you think this is going to spawn a whole new generation of ideas?
I hope so. I think that's the idea. That's Gurinder's idea in making it. It was my idea in being a part of it. Unfortunately, we are still in an era where you will look at Indian people in Indian garb on screen with Indian accents, and the majority of the audience, I hope I'm wrong, but my inkling is that the majority of the audience will look at it as something foreign or exotic and other. You know, that this is not us, so why should we watch it beyond 5 minutes of what is, I don't understand, what are they talking about? And also, the British are not shown in a favourable light. We're showing the East India Company for what it was, which was a group of men that came into India to pillage and plunder and to loot, you know. Fundamentally, that was the origin of the British Empire. And I've done so much work, and I, you know, in a lot of my films, I've done a lot of historical pieces. So Begum Jaan was 1947. I played a sex worker at the time of partition between India and Pakistan. Hawaizada was 1895 at the height of the British Raj. So for me to play a woman who was a Rajput princess right at the cusp of the Mughal Empire giving way and the Rajputana kind of world giving way to the British, it was fascinating for me to almost have mapped the British Raj through my work as a woman in various avatars during that time. And so as an artist, as an Indian woman, it was really interesting. But I see how the specificity of that trauma is something that we inherit as Indians around the world, but is still not yet seen by those who are, you know, descendants of colonized powers, for lack of a better phrase. And that conversation is starting to happen now. And I think Beecham House, for example, when Black Lives Matter broke as a movement very recently, I had a conversation with Gurinder, and I said, this is exactly the kind of narrative-changing work that we need on our screen. We need to make all of these people, to make us visible, to make the true narratives visible and show how history has been manipulated in our history books. So I hope that people understand it within that context as well, and also understand that there are limitations to making a show like this when you have a broadcaster that is not an Indian broadcaster that's producing it, for example, because you can't say Vande Mataram and Jai Hind. You still have to make it something which is palatable, unfortunately, to the audience that's already there, that's watching network television in a commercial sense. And that is true of ITV in the UK, that's true of PBS in the US, and that's true of Channel 10 in Australia.
And SBS, I will add.
And SBS, exactly. But I think, you know, the interesting thing about SBS is, maybe it's ignorant of me to say this, but one assumes that there might be more content that's geared in that direction on SBS. Yeah. One doesn't assume that when they look at commercial television in Australia.
And that's what, I mean, when I ask you about diversity on Australian screens, what more would you like to see happen? And I know in the current coronavirus environment, the COVID times that we live in, the arts are really suffering, but what more would you like to see, especially for people of Indian background and other migrants who call Australia home and have called Australia home for generations?
I think it's really about time that we debunk the idea of diversity in the way that it's been touted in the last few years. I remember 4 years ago when this language started to kind of become a little bit more mainstream, and I was shocked. You know, I was literally like, how it's finally happening. You know, for someone who's fought this, you know, intrinsically within myself and also in my own career, at a time where no one cared, at a time where I was told by Australian agents, oh, we already have a person of colour on our books, you know. I had to go to India and make it as a leading lady in India to be seen by people in Australia. And you look at that market versus this market, my viewing audience was literally millions more over there. For me, it was a very personal piece of redemption in a sense, because I thought I was crazy. People wanted me to, like, not talk about this idea that I was unseen, or that people like me were unseen, or we were relegated to the community space, that please come and do a performance on a Diwali function for the government, but don't be seen in our mainstream cultural spaces, I guess. And so this has been my personal work apart from my screen acting work. So I do a lot of arts curation. I do a lot of advocacy for the multicultural arts and but you're not aware of these artists because of this, you know, segregation in how we look at us and them and your art and my art and things like that. And there are all these spaces for community art. But the reality is I came from community art. That was who, that's where I started as an artist. So my point is that that's where you can find talent, and that is where a lot of talent resides. So for me, I think the key is to go into those spaces. Like I would personally, the work that I want to undertake going forward is a lot of mentorship for young people from diverse backgrounds who don't have access to the knowledge base and the mentorship that they require, and just confidence building to move beyond what the community also ordains as right and justified as a future career path, because it's a double-edged sword. You're also from a community that doesn't value the arts as a legitimate career path often, right? Mm-hmm. Like the arts is considered a hobby or an aside or something extra as an Indian person. You're lauded by your parents for having a real job. I mean that's the reality of so much of the pressure that young people feel, I feel, you think. Yeah. You know, the academic pressure of Asian Australians is intense. Mm. So how do we create a sense that this is a really worthwhile and essential contribution in society, particularly now when, you know, during the pandemic, we need the arts more than ever. We need this upliftment and this dialogue that happens through it. So, for example, in Retrograde, which is the ABC show that I've just finished shooting, I'm a script consultant on it. And that happened when they cast me, because I made it very clear that you've cast an Indian woman in a role that wasn't written for that. I don't want there to be gaps. I don't want your writing and the experience of an authentic Indian Australian woman. There shouldn't be a delta between those two things. There's no need for it, because we have a large enough audience that will appreciate the attention to detail. And for those who don't understand the nuances, there's some learning that they can do through that. You know, it's just those little details, I think, that it's time we get right.
Absolutely. This is so wonderful to hear that you're bridging that gap as well, where the script writing and comes through. But honestly, I mean, for someone who's a lawyer, a trained lawyer, to then go on and become a leading lady in so many different forms of the silver screen that we're talking about, it's absolutely fascinating. And you've mentioned the ABC's upcoming Retrograde. But is it a dream project, Pallavi, that you're hanging out for? Something that you'd really love to do?
Oh, yeah, interesting. I haven't thought of that for a long time. I think I haven't really been able to bring dance and cinema together the way it was the reason that inspired me to go to Bollywood, really. You know, I got to do some of those big Bollywood things in India, but I'm a freestyle movement artist. I'm not like someone who wants to do a tumka, be shot for 20 seconds and then cut the camera, you know. And I had a very idealistic notion of how I wanted dance to be portrayed on screen. So that's like the child in me that still exists. But other than that, I think the dream now is to actually create my own work. I have given myself permission to be more than just an actress, because, as you say, I'm a trained lawyer. My brain has been slightly starved at times because especially in Bollywood, they don't want to see that side of you. They don't want to see the bright, intelligent, articulate side of you, particularly when you have a Western education, because straight away you're showing yourself to be other, right? You're saying, "Main to bahar se aayi hoon." And I had to always shy away from that, because the men of the film industry in India would denigrate me for that, quite frankly. And so I had to shut that side of me down. So now I'm really re-empowering myself. I don't know if you're aware, I'm currently in the process of writing a book, which will come out next year. And that's been taking up a lot of my time as well, and allowing a lot of my original authorship and voice to come back into the mainstream, because working in Bollywood was an interesting tightrope that I had to tread.
Well, that's another interview in the making when the book comes out.
Yeah.
But, what I feel especially proud of is we will pride you as our Mumba queen here in Melbourne. And then to see you as this beautiful princess on our television screen, it's been an amazing experience. So for anyone who's watching you out there, all the young women out there, any tips for aspiring actors, you know, how you straddle the two identities, how you're able to make a space for yourself in the way that you want?
Well, number one, I hope it's easier now, given the last sort of few years that I've had. The whole point is so that it's easier for the next group of girls and boys and whoever wants to come in. I think it's about doing the work, you know. I think a lot of the way we look at, particularly those who have had exposure to Bollywood, is there's a lot of stars in people's eyes. And I was lucky that I didn't have that because I got to Mumbai and I had no support system. So it was very, the reality was very quick to hit me, right? But I was okay with the laborious task it was going to be. So I think it's just about that dignity of labor and also keeping your own dignity alive. You know, not believing that somebody's doing you a favor by giving you the work. I think the problem with the arts is that it's so hard to find work that a lot of people lose their own self-worth in the process because this dream and this idea is so much larger than themselves. But nothing is larger than the self. And I think that that's really an interesting battle that gets played out with artists all over the world. And a lot of the things we don't talk about, because in Australia particularly, you go to drama school or you can seek out a mentor and they'll say, send your headshots there, meet this person, do that thing. But along the way, the self-work is very, very important, because if you were to become an actor and you're not in tune with who you are internally, you're not going to be a good actor. You know, like it's just not going to happen. So it's a lot of those things that aren't obvious from the outside in terms of the process of what it is to be a real actor and or a performer of any sort. So, and, you know, my doors are always open. I'm on social media. Anyone can always reach out to me. I respond to anyone that reaches out. So, yeah, I just want to be a resource for our community. I'm very proud of what the Indian Australian community achieves, and I want it to flourish even more.
Well, thank you very much for all the work that you've done. It's amazing how you've made Indian Australians visible, not just in the Australian screen, but on a worldwide landscape. So that's been an amazing thing to watch, or for all of us, you know, very proudly. And Beecham House, absolutely amazing performance. You looked lovely and acted so beautifully. Thank you so much for that. I have a feeling we'll be talking again soon, Pallavi.
I hope so. I have a Netflix show coming out soon.
Oh, wow. Good luck with everything. And I do hope that, you know, all your dreams that you gathered all these feathers for, they do fly. Thank you so much for speaking
to us.
Thank
you, Manpreet. Thank you.
SBS.
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 SBS Radio.
ਕੀ ਤੁਸੀਂ ਇਸ ਤਰ੍ਹਾਂ ਦੀਆਂ ਹੋਰ ਪੇਸ਼ਕਾਰੀਆਂ ਸੁਣਨਾ ਪਸੰਦ ਕਰੋਗੇ? ਐਪਲ ਪੋਡਕਾਸਟ, ਗੂਗਲ ਪੋਡਕਾਸਟ, ਸਪੋਟੀਫਾਈ ਜਾਂ ਜਿੱਥੋਂ ਵੀ ਤੁਸੀਂ ਆਪਣੇ ਪੋਡਕਾਸਟ ਸੁਣਦੇ ਹੋ।